We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction. On the trolley back alley, heading for some Nutmeg function. All the people we see in the places we go, we'll have you right back by the end of the show. We're on the trolley back alley, heading down to Nutmeg Junction.
All aboard for a night of bone-chilling terror! That's right! The storytellers of Nutmeg Junction are just itching to take you along on another perilous excursion down that most rancorous of railways, most treacherous of trolleys, most callous of commutes, well, you get it. Nightmare Junction! I, the corpse conductor, am once again your host, my little parasites, for another evening of candy corn flavored tales. Speaking of candy, our first story is a real treat. A compelling creature feature woven by a Nutmeg Junction regular you know and love, Lana Peck. Summoning the voice of one of horror's true masterminds, she charts one man's particularly unsettling Halloween night, culminating in an encounter with Nightmare Junction's most unusual inhabitant.
I am writing this under appreciable mental strain that I might find relief from a most gruesome memory, a memory that has been twisted into a nightmare and has troubled my slumber for more than a fortnight. Casting down this tale, condemning it to the page forever with ink, I hope to banish it into a slimy expanse of hellish black mire, where it most certainly deserves to meet its end. I can bear this torture no longer. To the listener, I beg forgiveness as I leave you with such haunting visions, but I fear I must exorcise them with the utmost nauseating detail. My tale begins one late October evening in a quaint New England town in neighboring Connecticut. After traveling for some time back from New York from a failed attempt at gainful employment during research and writing, I was quite distraught, weary and eager to return to my native Providence, Rhode Island. My train ride from the city brought me up to the southern Connecticut coast. I accidentally got off at Bridgeport Station and boarded a line that took me up the Naugatuck River. Having fallen asleep during this leg, I awakened to find myself in Litchfield County. Unfamiliar with my surroundings as the night drew near, I quickened my pace in hopes of finding a lodging for the night. Locals had pointed me towards an inn called the Yankee Peddler. However, I found the directions conflicting and lost my bearings. I wandered aimlessly for a short time and onto rural farmland. Having glimpsed in the distance what seemed like the lights of civilization, I decided to abandon the fields and cross into a wooded area. The lights I saw began to flicker more as I approached, and my ears began to pick up faint voices. The voices were high in pitch and shrill like those of children, and became more intense as I witnessed some blasphemous ceremonial procession, followed by rhythmic chanting. Then, all at once, I saw them, tiny creatures with blue skin and shapely features wearing masks, white robes, and carrying what appeared to be carved out gourds. I ventured to move closer, but I stepped on a dead twig and broke it with a loud snap. They suddenly ceased their chanting and scattered in all directions with a frenzied flood of excitement, like tiny ants disturbed by the removal of a rock over their nest. My attention was then captured by a vast and singular object in the clearing, which rose steeply about 100 yards ahead of me, an object that gleamed whitely in the newly bestowed rays of the ascending moon. A gigantic, well-shaped monolith whose massive bulk had known the workmanship and, perhaps, worship of thinking and living creatures. I drew close enough to see and read a carved inscription. Nightmare Junction, Torrington, 3 miles. With renewed vigor, I searched the area for a road or a well-worn trail. The moon, now higher in the sky, shed light upon the wooden rails and rusty tracks of a railway line just barely peering out from the underbrush. I followed a line of limp and sagging wire strung between leaning wooden poles until I came upon a most grotesque and accursed-looking object. Unbeknownst to me at the time, this object would bring a dark cloud over my mind. It was a trolley car that sat like the carcass of a buck, who had been beaten down by a particularly cruel winter storm, and whose flesh lay rotting until the summer suns had bleached its bones white. Rust, like the teeth of many scavengers, had eaten away at the metal frame. What was left looked like it might fall apart, save for the spider webs strung across its windows. Though it looked like it seemed fragile and even dead, the trolley car seemed to breathe like a great beast ready to challenge an invader. It assumed a hideous personality as its air brake pump suddenly hissed and the floor began to rumble with a sound. Amorphous shadows seemed to lurk in the darker recesses of the interior as I stepped through the doorframe. Yet there was no one aboard. The air had a faint, rotting, putrid odor, and every carved molding that was left intact had a sinister quality to its design. This chilled me to my core. There was a metal clank and another hiss as I felt the floor lunge forward. I caught hold of what was left of a seat cushion and braced myself for an unscheduled ride. As the trolley moved along the track, the line put forward tree branches like crooked fingers reaching out to scratch at the back of my neck as they poked through the open windows. Too hoarse with fear, I could not call out to the empty car. Who would hear? Perhaps more astonished than horrified, I was urged on by an impulse I cannot define. I stayed seated and awaited what was to come next, while my heart pounded in my ears. I do not know exactly how long I rode the lumbering, angry beast before it slowed down enough to come to a hanging, creeping stop. I sat stupefied, not noticing that the light of the moon had mostly gone behind the clouds, and from the engulfing abyss of darkness outside, I heard footsteps approaching. Once the clouds had slid past, I saw dark forms of two men looming in the moonlight. From where I sat, I assumed one was the conductor and the other his motorman. The conductor was tall and thin with a scraggly beard, and his motorman was much shorter and had an awkward gait. Suddenly, the motorman raised his face and howled at the moon, and in kind so did the conductor. Shall I say the voices were deep, hollow, remote, unearthly, inhuman, disembodied? What shall I say? But then, the motorman dropped to all fours and began to make a mad dash towards the trolley car. I leapt up at once and raced madly out of the car, with all my intentions being to run until exhaustion forbid me to go no further. But something made me turn around to view this terrible being once again, and what vision I saw has attached itself to my sanity and began to tear my protective walls down. What caused me the most terror was not the fact that the motorman had howled and dropped to all fours, but that his face was a long white cone, tapering down into a blood-red tentacle. And that awful howl, I can still hear it screaming in my dreams at night.
Give me food!
No, no, Pachydermy Poo, that's not how you say it. It's trick or treat. Trick or treat.
Give me food!
Oh, Pachydermy Poo!
Quite the tale, eh? Really makes you want to give Miss Peck a hand. I would give her mine, but the last time I let her borrow them, they ended up wedged under her coffee table to keep it from wobbling. Ugh. Really makes you think twice about lending people your decaying body parts. Where was I? Yes! Another creature-filled story is looming just around the corner. But these little gremlins are a mite more ponderous than your average Halloween horrors. Brace yourself for the return of the Snarflepoos!
Before the party tonight, we should go trick-or-treating at Plato's Cave.
Sure thing, Simone.
Who is it?
Trick-or-treat! Plato, we said trick-or-treat.
I'm thinking it over.
That's fair. We'll come back later when you've made up your mind.
You've given me a lot to think about, guys.
Happens every Snarfleween.
Snarflepoofs, America's latest toy-branded entertainment program, invites you for another visit to the wondrous land of Epistologica for our mandatory holiday adventure, the Snarfleween Special! The Snarflepoofs Snarfleween Special is sponsored by Flat Tread Tires. If you need something cheap, bald, and relatively useless, don't turn to your Uncle Hubert. Turn to Flat Tread Tires, your temporary vehicle solution. Friends, there are times when you just need to get that clunker off the cinder blocks and into your driveway. Can you think of a better way to get that eyesore off the lawn than by using Flat Tread Tires? I sure can't. The treads are lovingly hand-drawn by local artisans, and each tire is backed by a 100% guaranteed one-hour warranty while the glue dries. So try Flat Tread Tires, your temporary vehicle solution today!
Why do we ask trick-or-treat anyway, Rennie?
Well, Simone, because Snarflepoofs have a choice. Whenever someone comes to a home and says trick-or-treat, Snarflepoofs can give a treat.
That's right, Rennie. Everyone gets a treat, and it all works out nicely.
You got it, Wollstonecraft.
Just give them all the treats, every last one, because nothing matters.
Great points, Nietzsche, old pal. Sometimes nihilism has an interesting point of view.
But what if a Snarflepoof wants to provide a trick?
What do you mean?
It's trick or treat, right? What if the Snarflepoof wants to provide a trick instead of the treat?
Good one! But everyone gets a treat.
In my day, everyone got two treats. And it wasn't this so-called fun-sized nonsense. There's no fun in getting one-tenth the size of an actual candy bar.
Great point, Plato. See, Plato gets it.
No, Plato doesn't get it at all. Or maybe I don't. So let me get this straight. When we all say trick or treat, we all really mean treat or treat. That's the real message.
We wouldn't just go to a Snarfle and say treat. What kind of fun is that?
fun-sized fun. That's what kind.
Exactly.
It means very little fun-sized fun. Very little fun.
Yes, point well taken, Plato. Look, Simone, society demands that we are given a choice. And society also demands that we select the mandatory answer every time. So if anything, the trick is knowing there's only a treat.
Tricky.
Where's the apple bobbing competition, Plato?
In the clearing we made by the old watering hole.
You mean the clearing we made near the other clearing we made at the dried up brook?
No, the clearing we made at the dried up well. We don't go to the dried up brook anymore.
Why not?
Because it's less of a brook and more of a very long ditch, which is nice and all if you're into ditches. But our rafts just sort of tend to sit there, so it's less festive. It's been fun-sized.
Thanks, Plato. We get it. Anyway, I think I'll head up to the clearing. I think I see Simone and Calvin up there now.
Whatever you do, don't argue with Calvin.
Why's that?
I never argue with predeterminists anymore. No matter what my position is, they always say, "I knew you were going to say that."
Hey, Calvin. I see you're wearing a Snarfleween costume. Are you an ostrich?
Right, Simone. The ostrich is the animal kingdom's hero.
How do you figure that?
As we all know, birds fly, but ostriches choose not to. Their restraint is admirable. That's why the ostrich is the official mascot of my team at the Snarfle Science Fair.
You're on a science team, Calvin? I had no idea.
Of course. But the great thing about science is that you can believe whatever science you want to believe. There are no rules.
How did your team do in the Snarfle Science Fair?
We wound up in last place, but two of our team members signed up to be judges next year, so there's an ostrich victory in the future.
Is that really predestiny, Calvin?
It's easier to believe in predestiny if two out of three judges are on your team.
Hi, Snarfles. I was told the apple bobbing competition was here in this meadow.
It is, Wollstonecraft. Beautiful meadow, isn't it? Can you believe that this area was once a forest?
I can, because I remember when it was a forest before we chopped it down.
Oh, we didn't turn it into a meadow. Nature turned it into a meadow.
After we chopped it down.
No, believe me, trees fall over all the time. It's nature's way.
The way we naturally took our axes and chopped down this part of the forest until it was a meadow?
Look, I'm not saying we did it, but if we did do it, we had to do it. And if we didn't do it, someone else would have done it. And nature was already doing it. So we shouldn't be complaining about it, because it was going to be done no matter what. And now that it is done, that is, if it was done in the first place, then it's too late to do anything about it anyway. So we might as well not talk about it or talk about what to do about it. And we should just focus on the apple bobbing competition.
Oh, I get it. You're an ostrich.
That's right. The feathers on the costume really make it stand out.
Yes. The costume is great, too.
Are you going to participate in the apple bobbing, Renny?
I don't know, Wollstonecraft. Is the apple bobbing sanitary?
Of course it's sanitary. Everyone who participates in apple bobbing washes their face.
Yeah, but with what water?
With the water in the apple bobbing tub, silly. We just have to go get the bottles of water, Renny.
Some Snarfleween customs will always remain a mystery.
You know what's a mystery? Why we're calling it Snarfleween. It's Halloween. Just call it Halloween.
But Snarfleween comes every October 31st.
Like Halloween.
And we get dressed up in costumes.
Like Halloween.
And then we take turns debating the meaning of existence, using words only found in candy wrappers.
Okay, happy Snarfleween, guys.
The mandatory Snarfleween special is brought to you by Greedy Mine Water. Yes, greedy mine water. When we own all the water, try to live without us. Friends, you know the best way to enjoy water is by taking the less filtered water from the exact same source that supplies your filtered tap and putting it in non-biodegradable plastic containers so that you can feel better about your decisions than when you buy the exact same less filtered water with artificial coloring and a deathly amount of sugar that we also sell in non-biodegradable plastic containers. So, buy greedy mine water. When we own all the water, try to live without us. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Here's the water.
Thanks for carrying the giant water bottles.
Thanks for buying it for us. Good news is, we got Greedy Mine brand water, so you know it's quality.
I wish we could just get the water from the well or the brook again like we used to before.
Silly Simone. This is way better because we pay for it.
Everything's better when you pay for it.
Everything, including nature?
Of course, nature has to be on the packaging.
If it don't say all natural water on the plastic bottle, I ain't paying for it.
Thanks, Plato. Say, what happens when we can't afford the water we used to get for free?
That'd be time for a second or third job, Simone.
That reminds me. It's almost time for my shift, so let's get this apple bobbing competition moving.
You have a job, Wollstonecraft? What is it?
I work at the bottling plant. Do you think I can afford all this water?
It's time for the apple bobbing competition, guys. And don't get mad or anything, but I think I'm supposed to win it.
Well, that's it then, I guess. Why get wet if we know Calvin's going to win?
Congratulations, Calvin!
Hooray, Calvin!
Well done, young man.
It's probably just as well, because we didn't have any apples. You need apple trees to get apples, and we chopped them down to get this wonderful clearing.
We could buy apples.
If the bag don't say all natural apples, I ain't buying them.
Do you ever think sometimes maybe we went down the wrong path here? I mean, a relationship with the world and everything?
No, Simone, we didn't go down the wrong path because there's no path to begin with. Snarflepoofs live in a random, meaningless world with no compass, and what we get for our efforts are two plastic bottles of water in an empty field.
No, Sneetchy. There is a path, and we're walking straight down it whether you want it to or not. It's not the wrong path, Simone. It's the only path. Right, Plato?
No, Calvin. We have the freedom to make choices.
But what if our choices are like saying trick or treat and we're fooling ourselves?
I think...
Therefore you are?
Thank you, Wollstonecraft. No, I think we can reason this out, Simone, thinking rationally. I'm thinking that Snarfleween, at least sometimes, is all about the fun of creating a good scare or two, right?
Sure.
So what's scarier than the idea that when we superimpose unfettered capitalism over any philosophical system, it only eliminates choice by pretending to provide unlimited choices?
It's the trick-or-treat question. Choices with mandatory answers.
Exactly. And eventually that unfettered capitalism, in the absence of regulation, will decimate nature, and our world will become unlivable.
No, Rennie. Capitalism provides freedom compared to any other system that maintains order. All other forms remove freedom, and we need freedom above all else.
That's why I'm for anarchy, baby. Who's with me?
No.
You all suck, you know that, right?
Rennie's saying unfettered.
If it don't say natural capitalism, I ain't going for it.
Wait, do you hear that?
Could it be the Sniggle Bears, our natural predators?
But we're in a clearing, without the protection of a forest.
We're done for.
I wasn't destined to be eaten.
Hey,
Hey, guys! It's me, Walden!
Walden!
Walden! Long time no see. Where have you been?
In the part of the forest we haven't cut down yet. I've been living in nature and really grooving on it. But I came back to invite you all to come with me. It's kind of lonely being the only Snarflepoof around.
You gave us a good scare, Walden. Sorry, guys, but I'm late for my shift.
That sounds really good, except I don't think there's Wi-Fi there, and I need to update my social media accounts every hour.
Oh, also, I came to buy some toilet paper and toothpaste. There are some things that nature hasn't provided for me on its own.
Wait, can't we continue our discussion? Renny? Plato? I feel like we were so close to coming up with an answer.
We can't, Simone. We were predestined to go to commercial and end the program.
Oh, well.
Happy Snarflepoofing, everyone!
Next time on the Snarflepoofs, we discuss immigration and the concept of self in Snarflegiving, our mandatory holiday special.
Thanksgiving. It's Thanksgiving.
We're singing a Snarfleween song. Snarfleween song, Snarfleween song. We're singing a Snarfleween song because it's Snarfleween.
Happy Snarfleween, everyone!
And so, my intrepid listeners, we reach the final stop of our journey. Collect your belongings, stop screaming already, and prepare to disembark. But as you venture off into the ink of night, remember the words of your beloved corpse conductor. Keep your dreams close, but keep your nightmares closer!
Nutmeg Junction, Nightmare Junction Special 3 was directed by J. Timothy Quirk and recorded at WAPJ Torrington Community Radio. The Corpse Conductor was written by and starred Josh Newey. Call of the Trolley was written by Lana Peck. It starred David Robinson with Kurt Boucher and J. Timothy Quirk. Snarfleween was written by J. Timothy Quirk and it starred Jandy Hanna as the narrator, Lana Peck as Simone, Nick Bourne as Calvin, Rich Sear as Walden, Kurt Boucher as Rennie, Olivia Wadsworth as Wollstonecraft, Melissa Gabehart as Sneechy, Jeff Savage as Plato. The Snarflepoof's theme, Jelly Bean Stump, was written and performed by Lana Peck and Mick Walker, copyright 1998 and used with permission. Nutmeg Junction theme was written and performed by Robert C. Fullerton, copyright 2018 and used with permission. We hope you enjoyed the ride on Nutmeg Junction, and may all your journeys bring you back to a happy home.
Sounds like a dangerous caper, Madeline.
That's right, Rusty. But whatever Madeline Forthright can't handle, the Grey Whisper will.
Especially if it's a caper we find right here on the Nutmeg Junction radio program.
That's right, Rusty. Enjoy stories like Space Sentries, The Professor, The Grey Whisper, and many more.